Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert, Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
So, you know, everything in life kind of goes through stages, right? And we're used to the different chapters. I mean, let's just talk about life in general, right? You're in school, you go to college, you probably get into a relationship, you get married, maybe you have children, then you raise the children, then you go through empty nesting, then you may go into grandparent life, right? Like, so you go to retirement. We know kind of the chapters of life. But interestingly enough, we don't look at our jobs as chapters of life. Not usually, but Julie Bauke does. Her brain is amazing, I tell you. She's our career strategist, and today we're talking about the concept of living your career in chapters. What do you mean by that, Julie? Let's start there.
Let's start with an example. Like right now, Braylon Mullins is in his hero.
I was wondering if you were going to bring up basketball. I was thinking about you. I'm like, Julie Bauke loves her NCAAs. Yes. Can we talk about freshman Braylon Mullins? My God, that boy. Yes, that man, I should say. Shouldn't say boy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kid's a freshman, though. My God. He's incredible.
Yeah, wonderful. A friend of mine is like the biggest Duke hater on the planet. And she texted me right after the game. She's like, Duke tears. America wins.
I agree with your friend. Sorry. Just yes. If you grew up a UConn, you know, like I'm born and raised Connecticut, so we bleed UConn. So we never liked Duke. Never did. So I agree with your friend.
Yeah.
But yes,
yeah.
let's take your example of Mr. Mullins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So think about, you know, he may or may not have a career in the NBA. He may decide to. He may decide not to. He may have that option. So when we look at, I think athletes are a really good example. And I've worked with athletes over the years, like professional athletes. That is a career with an expiration date.
Yes, absolutely.
Just time, body, you know, it's average NFL is 3.5 years. And with those guys, you don't know if you're going to have that kind of money that you can do whatever you want the rest of your lives.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that sounds really seductive, doing what I want every day, retirees will tell you that it ain't all it's cracked up to be, although it sounds good when you're a lot younger. So when we think about life, when we think about you have kids and then you're immersed in what they're doing and then they start driving and then they go away off to college and or off to live on their own and do something else or travel the world, every chapter of life, we give ourselves permission to change up our values and priorities based on what's going on in life. We have to, especially with kids, or let's say you've got elderly parents who need your help. And so what's on our dinner plate looks different as we move through life, and it has to. Now, compare and contrast that with how many of us of older generations have been taught to live our careers, which is grab one, hang on until your knuckles bleed and you can't stand it anymore. And if you don't like it, that's just too bad. And so there's something about that, because our work is so intertwined with the rest of our lives, especially now with technology taking that boundary away, it doesn't make any sense at all to say, oh, I've got to, I majored in engineering. My first job out of college was an engineer, and darn it, I have to be an engineer until the day I die. No, you don't.
No, you don't. Right.
You don't. And the story upon story upon story, the happiest people I know have changed careers and multiple times. And they did it based on, so here's one of my favorite sayings, let your career serve your life, not your life serve your career. And you've got to get, it's just like, what do I need in my life? And then how does that affect the work that I can do or that I want to do? And to think you're going to have the same interests at 18 as you do at 58 is just nuts. But we've been, because it's in the company's interest for us to stick around as long as possible and keep doing what we're doing. And then we start to get told, well, that's all you can ever do. You know, I majored in engineering. What else can I do? And so there's all these forces that push us onto a ladder.
I thought about you over the weekend, Julie, speaking of sports. I was up in Boston with my husband for a Bruins game, and we met up with my sister-in-law and her husband. She just got married last month. And we were talking, and of course, they're a little bit older. They're in their 30s. And so they want to start a family. And my sister-in-law is a teacher. And she said, I really want to, and they can financially afford, like, you know, 3 to 5 years of her staying at home, raising their kid. But then she wants to get back out to work, which is great. But she was saying, she's like, I don't know what else I can do. Like, if I'm not a teacher, and she's like, and I don't do what my role has been. I mean, my sister-in-law has worked all over the country in different school systems, and she's been at different levels, and she loves her job, but she wants to focus on being a mom in those very early years of their child whenever they get pregnant. And I said to her, are you insane? I was like, have you looked at your resume? So all of a sudden, and of course, my husband listens to you, so he knows. This is about the time that he's in the car with my son driving him to school. And he's listening to me. And I'm like, are you insane? I go, have you looked at your skills? Do you know how transferable they are? And I start rattling off all these different things. I go, maybe you won't get your job back at where you are, but you could do this, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this, da, da, da. And we left that luncheon, and Derek's like, did you, like, channel Julie Bauke? Like, what was happening now? What in the world happened? But it's exactly what you're saying, which is that we get stuck in thinking that this job title that we have, or even this place that we work at currently, that's it. Even when we know subconsciously that we could certainly transfer these talents elsewhere, or we could certainly work at another school, or we could certainly work somewhere else where education skills are transferable. For some reason... And again, that's because of a change in your life. You're going from, you know, either single to married, but then now having a child. There's something about just this idea of it's so terrifying. Like, if you walk away from your current situation to either do something else or just go somewhere else to do it. And I don't know why. Is that just societal, generational kind of trauma? It's interesting to me. It is. It really is.
Yeah. So... things have changed. So I would tell your sister-in-law that even 20 years ago, teachers were in a box. And it was really hard for them to do anything else. Because it was, you're a teacher. Like, we don't have kids here. And that real, like, sort of black and white thinking. And then, especially, I would say in the last 5 to 7 years, it's really changed. Mm-hmm. Because organizations, smart people, started looking beyond the title to what the title is made up of, to what your, I might be called teacher, but really, if you think about, if you make a list of all the things that you have to do that are transferable skills, think about the communication skills required, think about the kind of the group management, think about the planning, the learning planning, thinking about dealing with different personalities, with administration, you have to, and it's sort of like, there's in moms, I'm just a mom. Oh my heavens. You know, we have to take that.
Cut it out. Teacher, stop
right,
it with that.
A teacher, break it down. What skills are transferable? And what if teaching wasn't an option? What are the things about teaching that you enjoyed the most? And who else might be looking for someone to do those things? So teacher is a great example because we did hold them in a box for a long time. But it's not that way anymore. A lot of people are leaving teaching, which is, I get it, but it's unfortunate. But they are finding other jobs. And also to your sister-in-law and to any woman who's thinking, I definitely want, I think we have to give ourselves space to say, when I'm pregnant, yes, I definitely want to come back and teach again. But know that you might change your mind in all that time and say, I want to go back to work. But when Junior is 1 or 2 or, you know, 4 months old or whatever we can afford and I want to do, but I want to go back in the workforce differently. And one of the things that women do especially is they'll be out of the workforce for 3 to 4 years and maybe they had a great, I've talked to women who've had great careers. They go off, raise kids for 3 to 5 years and they come back and they think their competition is people right out of college. No, it isn't. It's like they forget they had this whole life before kids where they did things. And so most of the problem is between our ears. Part of the problem is the way that society perceives you when you've been out of the workforce. But that is changing.
It is changing.
What needs to change along with this is how you see yourself. And just because you pick something as a major, you're not destined to it for life.
Right. You're not going to be pigeonholed to that. Career strategist Julie Bauke is here, and we are talking about this concept of living your career in chapters like we do the rest of our lives. And so we were using, my poor sister-in-law is going to be like, Melissa, what the actual? But I got to be honest, Julie, did I not sound like you at that luncheon? Right?
Yes, you did.
Right?
I raised you well.
I know, right?
Grasshopper.
You've done so. Yes. That's like the nicest title you could ever give me. Yeah, I had this conversation with my sister-in-law, and I think it actually, we didn't even pre-discuss this, Julie and I. She came up with this great, you know, topic today. And I thought, man, I just discussed this with my sister-in-law over the weekend. So I'm using her as an example, not to call her out, but I do think a lot of people, I went through this, Julie. I mean, listen, I'll throw myself under the bus, okay? So I have Chase. I panic. I have postpartum. 6 weeks after I re-signed my contract with my television station, I'm like, I'm out. Adios. I'm done with news. No way. Not touching it. No broadcasting. Bye. I'm going through the whole mom thing, and there's no way I'd ever get back into news. And then a year later, I end up at WICC working in radio news, which is very different. I know it sounds the same, but it's very different. But again, it goes back to this idea of transferable skills. And like you said, Julie, you know, life chapters will change kind of your mentality. So how do we identify transferable skills, you know, and highlight them best? But also, how do we identify jobs outside of the obvious? For me, that was part of my panic, was if I leave TV, I'm out. That has always been the way. As soon as you walk out away from TV, it is harder and harder every day that passes to get back into it. But I didn't even think, like, wait a minute, there were skills I could take into, you know, PR or into politics or into radio or, you know, what have you. So how do you identify transferable skills, highlight them best, and then even find jobs outside of what you think? You know, I'm a teacher, got to be a teacher.
So the first thing is separate yourself from the title. So let's say that, let's take your sister-in-law, poor thing. We're going to just use and abuse her all over the place. Let's say she goes out on her maternity leave on a Friday, and she's a teacher on Friday. On Monday, she is a former teacher. Or let's say she quits. Okay, she's really a former teacher because she's not being paid to teach. And so one of the most important things we can do is separate ourselves from our job titles as a core part of our identity. And so take that title, and I would even say just start keeping track or keeping a journal. What do I do all day? What problems did I solve today? And what skills did it take to solve that problem? When you have a really good day, and this is important, there's transferable skills, but there's also the transferable skills you want to keep using. And so that then becomes what's the difference between what I can do and what I want to do. And so if you're, let's say you're really tired of dealing with, you know, a lot of the parent drama as an example, because we all know that's a big part of what teachers deal with these days. You don't want to go work for a company that runs HOAs, because in every HOA, there's drama, you know? So I'm just making that up, because the HOA where I live is full of drama right now. So you have to identify what are the things that you did every day outside. What does teacher mean? Well, I taught kids. Okay, great. You taught. Okay, what did you teach? How did you do it? How did you have to adjust your method? Tell me about dealing with administration. Tell me what you love to do. What did you get complimented on? What did people tell you that they really appreciate about you? Start to gather, especially when you're working, start to gather those things. Then you want to start to, and it's not going to happen all at once, because we're so embedded with these things, it's hard to think separately about ourselves away from our jobs. The next, what you want to do is just start to get curious. Go on LinkedIn, go on job boards, poke around. What kind of jobs are out there? Put into whatever AI platform you use. What other careers are available for elementary school teachers? In other words, you have to start to develop a book of knowledge. What have other people done? That's a great way to start. What jobs out there appeal to you? Could you go work for as a teacher? I'll just give some examples. So I look at this and I say, okay, so you know about learning, you know about classrooms, et cetera. Could you work for a publisher of education materials? Could you work for a school supply or school uniform company? Could you move into administration? at an organization that develops materials or delivers materials. And so you start looking at the different, what you know and what you do and what you're good at. And then the question starts to become, who else might value the knowledge and experience I have? And so you have to attack this from a variety of angles. And this is where we just get really, in fact, Melissa, you know, I'm writing a book and it's done actually. We can talk about that
congrats.
Another time.
I
have a whole thing in there. I have a whole chapter in there about this. About how do you figure out who you are outside of that title and out from between your ears? Mm. What is your value? What do people value about you? So it's like this 360 degree look. There's no formula where you just say, teacher, I'm a teacher, so all I can be is a teacher or a principal. No.
Okay,
align with your skills, not your title.
Okay, so Julie, I need your book title because I'm going to tell you right now I'm going to get inundated with calls about this.
Yeah.
What's the name of your book? Is it available?
No. I think I'm going to make a deal with a publisher this week. It's done, but it's I'm talking to a publisher, so probably by fall.
Okay.
But it's going to be called Career Happy, and then I don't know what the subtitle is going to be because they might tell me to change it. But I think I should come there and do a kickoff. Don't you?
I would love it. Are you kidding? And it could say Career Happy, How to Become the Grasshopper.
How to Become the Grasshopper, Melissa.
Right? Yes. I'm calling
you that from now on.
You should call me Grasshopper.
So
I love it.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of these things apply to women because our careers are different.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this that applies to men, too. And so I don't want to leave them out.
Absolutely.
Just because you're an engineer. Melissa, I wish I could tell you how many conversations I've had with doctors who say, I always wanted to be a doctor. I was pushed to be a doctor. I hate it. However, I have $6 billion in debt. And so I don't have any choices. And I really appreciate that. And just because you decided to be something at 12 doesn't mean you're still going to love it at 32, 42, and 52. And I think we need to give ourselves the opportunity, give ourselves permission to embrace that and say, it's not weird. You're not indecisive. You're a growing, evolving human.
Totally. Well, just like life, as you mentioned, you know, it's a concept that we do in life, which is that we have chapters. So why don't we look at that with our careers and attack it appropriately? I think it's a great conversation and I cannot wait for your book to come out, hopefully as early as the fall. Keep us posted on that. Julie Bauke, always appreciate you taking the time to be on our show. Thank you so much. And we'll talk again soon.